starting tomorrow. So, all right. You know, I was thinking about mentioning this morning, and I totally forgot with stuff going on and thinking other things. But I assume everybody heard about the Roe v. Wade thing getting turned over, which it didn't abolish abortion, it just basically gave it back to the states to deal with it. So that's a step in the right direction. I mean, it's something. That's good. So it's it's so funny that people have been, they protest, and it's like, tell the government to keep their hands off my body and stuff like that. And then the government said, okay, we're not interested in your body. Let the states figure it out. And now they're mad about that. I'm just not going to be happy. So anyhow, that's something. That's good. Yeah. Party for the children. I don't know. Can't make people happy. It's what? Yes. Yeah. Just whatever's the convenient argument. Just whatever's the convenient thing to say. Crazy. It's craziness. It is really crazy. All right, Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. I've titled this one A Friend in Jesus. Three times in this chapter, the phrase shows up that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord's with Joseph. And the presence of the Lord, you know, it's one of those things you go through the Bible, and that is one of the most important things, is the presence of the Lord, whether he's there or he's not there. And just a little bit of thinking about it, how many times that shows up in that theme and that thought, even from the name, when he says in Isaiah, he says, "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Like that's the important thing, whether God is with you or not, or whether God is with us or not. I think about, and I'll give you a little history before we read some of this, just some thoughts on the timeline and history when Elijah shows up at Mount Carmel, and those priests, they're trying to get a hold of a God that doesn't exist. It really exists in their minds. This God's not going to hear them, not going to respond in any way, but they're cutting themselves, and they're trying to call down fire and trying to get, you know, their God's attention and doing all kinds of crazy things to make this God that they're worshiping get his attention. And even to the point that Elijah sort of sarcastically responds that maybe your God's on vacation, or maybe your God is away, and maybe he's asleep. And the point is, this false gods that these people have been worshiping, they're not gods at all. They're not present. They're not there. They don't exist. As opposed to Elijah's God, who is there. And so when Elijah calls on God to rain fire down on that altar, and the Lord does, and he burns up the sacrifice, he burns up the altar, he burns up the water around the altar, just everything, just because of the presence of God. And then go up to the New Testament and John, and in John it talks about God being made manifest. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I think about Daniel and Jesus Christ and in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. One of the things, and I'm just rolling these things off, just thinking about all the instances where God's presence is of some importance. And it seems like it's over and over, God's presence. And then if God's not there, that's not good. Think about with Matthew, at the end of Matthew, where the Lord says, go ye into all nations, teach them and all that stuff. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Like, I am with you. That's the presence of God with you. The Psalms, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Paul says it. He says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, we just go through so many of these things. I'm just emphasizing over and over the importance of the presence of God. And it seems to be a necessary theme all the way through the Bible. So in this chapter, Genesis 39, three times it's said of Joseph in his life, in this episode of his life, that the Lord was with Joseph. And circumstantially, it wouldn't look like the Lord's with Joseph, because nothing is going his way at all. But that's not the reality. The circumstances aren't necessarily the reality. The reality is the Lord is with Joseph. So let's read a little bit. I'll give you three things here about a friend in Jesus and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and his friendship and his companionship through success, through false accusation, through bad and good. And so let's read a little bit. Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 1, says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord, there you go, there's the first time, that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Sounds like Jesus Christ. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let's pray. And we're going to take this from the angle of the presence of God and the friend of Jesus Christ. So let's pray and we'll talk about that. Father, I pray that you'd help us this afternoon. It's one of these things that we have to be reminded of and think about, just that sometimes circumstances don't look like and don't resemble reality. And so I pray that you would help us not only understand that general truth, but also your presence and the importance of your presence and the testimony of your presence in someone's life. And so I pray that you'd help us with this afternoon. Thank you for each soul that's here. And again, do pray for VBS, that it's very successful and that Jesus Christ would be magnified in all of it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the first six verses here deal with Joseph being bought by Potiphar and going into this house, and Joseph is a wise young man. He is blessed by the Lord. He has good character. And so the Bible says the Lord was with him and made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And so a guy like that, and not only was he prosperous in what he did, but what's neat about all this is it was evident to the man that he worked for that the Lord was with him. That was evident. And that's important. That testimony that the Lord is a part of Joseph's life, and that all this character and this wisdom and this just integrity that Joseph has, it's not just a matter of Joseph being a good guy. It's the fact that the Lord's with him and he fears the Lord, and so the Lord's with him in success. Everything he does is successful. He's trustworthy because he's a faithful man. And so Potiphar sees all that and gives him so much responsibility in his house, such that it's essentially that Potiphar has basically said, Joseph, you run everything, and I'm just not even going to worry about what happens because I trust you. And that's what I think it's verse 5 or 6 there, where Potiphar just essentially leaves the whole thing, other than what he eats in you know, for his meals. Potiphar knows about that, but what else is going on in his household? He's letting Joseph take care of all of the maybe the business dealings and everything else, because Joseph has proven to be a young man that is wise, that is industrious, that has good character, that has integrity, but ultimately that the Lord's with him. The Lord's with him. And so he has that testimony. So the Lord's with him. The first thing I think about is the Lord's with him in success. And maybe that's the first point of this whole thing, is the Lord's with him in success. And that's good. You want to be in a place like that where the Lord's with you in success, because there is success without the Lord. There's a such thing as that. But that's not this case. This case, the Lord is with Joseph in success. But as things go, Joseph's work in Potiphar's house, it's very well done, and he takes care of things the way he needs to take care of things. And then you meet Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife is not exactly like Potiphar. And so verse 7 says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath commended all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" There's something to that. That's a good thought. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. It came to pass, when his master heard these words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner, thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him put him into the prison, in a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. I'm going to stop there. So Joseph is very successful at the beginning. He's doing very good, and what you'll find generally is when the Lord is with people like Joseph and Daniel, their responsibility increases, and then they find out or they come up against a big trial, big trouble. And that's this case here. It was enough that I guess Joseph was sold off into work with Potiphar, but now Potiphar's wife falsely accusing him. And if you understand what's going on, she's trying to have a relationship with Joseph, and Joseph is not interested, just to put it mildly. Joseph is not gonna, he's not gonna participate in this adultery. And she gets mad, and she is frustrated, she's angry at Joseph. And so when Joseph does what Paul had said to do in the New Testament, flee fornication, when he does that and leaves his clothes behind, she uses that opportunity to say, see, this man you brought into our house, he tried to do bad things to me, and this man, he's crooked, he is bad. And I can't imagine being in Joseph's shoes, where you're falsely accused of this crime, and now Joseph is, because of this lady's lie, because of her lust originally, and now these lies that she's telling, Joseph is going to go into prison. And so, all of that said, God was with Joseph in success. After verse 20, it says, they take Joseph and put him in prison. But look what it says in verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph. So the Lord was with him in success. Now the Lord's with him through false accusations. And still with him. So oftentimes, and you got to remember these types of things, the circumstances that you see are not always, I shouldn't say not always, they're seldom the reality. What you see is seldom the reality. Maybe what you hear, somebody said, how did they say that? Believe half of what you hear and nothing of what you see. Something like that. But I mean, it's so interesting to read these stories in the Bible where you and I have this view of what's actually happening. But if you put yourself into the characters and just observe the circumstances, here's Potiphar. He probably doesn't know what to make of this. He knows Joseph is a good guy as far as he's responsible. He takes care of things. And it's really not in his character to do what his wife has said, but his wife said this happened, and so, you know, we just have to take your wife's word for it. So he just, he's frustrated, he's mad at Joseph. And so if you insert yourself into their lives here, what looks like is happening is not what's happening. What's happened is someone's been lied about. And now this innocent man is going to go to prison because of this lie. But, the Bible says, the Lord's with him. And you would look at a man like Joseph, and probably he's, you know, if it was in our day, it would be on the news, and there would be some story about the scandal, and, you know, this man made advances, and they had this relationship with Potiphar's wife, and now Joseph tried to assault Potiphar's wife, and now Joseph's in jail, and that would be maybe the news stories, but none of that would be real. And the reality is, the Lord's actually with Joseph, and Joseph is an innocent man. So what you see at the surface is not what's happening. The Bible says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. So the Lord's with him in success. Then the Lord's with him through false accusation, which brings me to this thought. This is a great set of verses to remember. Look in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to give you a cross-reference to this. This is a great set of verses to think about and remember. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start in a verse that you like and I like. And then we're going to get to the parts that we don't like. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is a good one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Okay, got that? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. So all that's in context with that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So we got this idea, everything's working together for good. Then you hit bad circumstances. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Here's Joseph facing false accusation, and here's the question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? See that? That idea that Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Well, Lord, this really doesn't look very good. This looks pretty terrible. In fact, I can't believe You're letting people lie about my life. Let's keep going. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Here's another question. Who's He that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even among the right hand, even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I mean, all these questions are answered in Jesus Christ. Here's another one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for Thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are blessed all the day long. We're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're just like, to the world, Christianity is like, it's just barbecue. It's just, there's no use for it. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Okay, now the verse is starting to mean something. Now it's all meaning something. Okay, You said, Lord, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Great. I'm successful. I believe it. All things are working in my favor. Uh-oh. Hit a snag. Uh-oh. Now my life seems to be off course. Now people are talking bad about me. Now I've got these false accusations. The man I'm working for, his wife has falsely accused me of assaulting her, and now he's throwing me in jail. Lord, where are you at? Lord, where are you at? Well, remember Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, because I said that for a reason. I said that for a reason, and I meant that. And that's why I'm going through all of these bad circumstances to remind you. I'm trying to remind you because it's easy to remember that when things are great, but when things are bad, that's when I need to be reminded. That's when I need to think about this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, Thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Well, that doesn't sound like conquering. That sounds like being destroyed. Remember what we just said? The circumstances and the appearance of something is not always the reality of it. And so what looks like destruction to the world, what looks like terrible devastation from the outside world, the Lord says, no, in all of this, you're more than conquerors. How? In Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he goes back over, and this is the New Testament explanation of some of this stuff. It's like, well, the Lord allowed Jesus Christ to go to the cross. He allowed Jesus Christ to be falsely accused. He allowed these things to happen in Jesus Christ. So if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, don't expect different treatment than that. Secondly, because Jesus Christ accomplished and was victorious over these things, understand in Jesus Christ you have the victory over this. There's a future here that you're not necessarily privy to on some level through it all. So you do have an idea of some of the future. You understand what some of the future and the hope is, but not necessarily all of it. So the Lord, going back to Genesis 39, the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord is with Joseph in his successes. The Lord is with Joseph in these false accusations, through adversaries, through necessities, through accusations, through condemnations, through trouble, through physical separation. Paul says, look, nothing's going to separate you from the love of the Lord in Jesus Christ. So it's through false accusation. The Lord's with Joseph. Verse 21, back in Genesis 39, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Then this, the Lord's with him in success, the Lord's with him in false accusation, and the Lord's going to be with him in prison. He's going to be with him in prison. Verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Sounds like the same situation at Potiphar's house. Everywhere Joseph goes, He is known to be able to handle responsibility. And because of that, that's one of the testimonies he has with his co-workers, with the people he's around. And that's one of the things that is a testimony of the presence of God in his life. Verse 23, back in Genesis 39, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Isn't that wild? The Lord was with him in success. Joseph is very successful in what he does. Then the Lord's with him even through the false accusations. And then the Lord's with him in prison. You know what the consistent thing is? The Lord's with him. Circumstances keep changing. He gets bombarded with adversarial circumstances, in this case with his master's wife. And so, that just puts a whole new element of trouble in his life. But through it all, the Lord's with him. And the Lord doesn't take away the trouble. He's just in the midst of the trouble. He's a present help. That's what the psalmist said. He said, the Lord, how does he say that? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So it's not that God necessarily removes the trouble. What he is a present help in the trouble. He's in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't take away the fire. He's in the fire. He didn't make Potiphar's wife just drop dead or shut her mouth, or he didn't do that. The Lord allows people to make their decisions and do things, and then the Lord responds, and one of his responses with Joseph is, Joseph, I'm with you. I'm with you. And as that's evident in everything Joseph does, because everything he does prospers. He is a man of, like we said, integrity and character. You see the character in this chapter, fleeing fornication and getting out of the situation, even though Potiphar's wife still accuses him and all that stuff. So Joseph's going to be, now that he's in prison, even though he's in prison, he's going to be productive in prison. And that's one of the things you can think about the blessings of God, that the blessings of God are not bound to circumstances, and the Spirit of God is not bound to a system. It's not bound to a system. I don't know how far necessarily to take this, but I will say, when I read through the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God has been able to thrive under almost any government, whether it was a dictator like Nebuchadnezzar, whether it was a generous man like the Persians had, Cyrus. You can install whatever government, and I'm not saying that eliminates the need for good government or anything like that. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit seems to be able to work as long as he has willing people to work with. And it really doesn't necessarily matter the circumstances or the systems they're involved in. As long as there's a willing vessel to yield to the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord can use that. And he does. And so Joseph finds himself productive. And that's really, I guess, one of the main points in all of this. Joseph finds himself productive in business life and work life, and the Lord's with him. Then Joseph finds himself productive even under false accusations. He's still productive, and then in prison, he's in prison for years, and he still manages to be productive in prison. And it's just, what is that? That's the presence of God. The presence of God is not bound by the circumstances necessarily. So all that said, this is the blessing of God, that God is with, he's with Joseph. And that presence, we sing that song about a friend in Jesus, that's, you know what that's really talking about? Because it's not talking about his physical friend. He's not just like personally standing right beside you. The presence of the Lord, that's what that is. What a friend we have in Jesus. The presence of the Lord. And when that presence, if you've got it, if it's there, that is the blessing of God. That really is. And if it's not there, that is God's disapproval of what's going on. I remember, I'll wrap it up with this. I remember back in Exodus, I've used this example before, but back in Exodus, when the Lord tells Moses and the Israelites to go into, they might be going into the Promised Land, but he tells the Israelites, wherever he tells them to go, he says, you know what, because he's so frustrated with the Israelites at this time, he says, you just tells Moses, just go and just, I'll be here. I'm not going with you. Just take the Israelites and lead them over here. And Moses says, Lord, but if you don't go with us, what's the point of going there? If you're not with us, what's the point of being there? And that's the point, his presence. It's like, Lord, if you leave us, what was the point of this whole thing if you're not going to be with us? And so God's presence, that's the blessing of God three times in this chapter, and under different circumstances, under different systems and regimes and whatever you want to call it, different places in Joseph's life, times in Joseph's life. The Bible says the Lord's with Joseph. It's through success. It's through troublous times. It's through prison life. And the thing that's consistent in Joseph's life is the Lord's with him. The Lord's with him. And that's the blessing. That's the blessing. So I hope that's encouraging. And you seek the presence of the Lord. Seek the Lord's fellowship. And maybe to make some application, I think if you look at it in your own life, maybe that's the thing that's been lost recently. You've lost the fellowship with the Lord. Just whatever it is, something's gotten in the way. And that whole, the Lord is with me, and it's kind of like, I don't know, I've lost the fellowship. I don't enjoy the things that I used to enjoy the way I did. I don't enjoy the prayer life. I don't enjoy reading my Bible. I don't know, whatever it is. But maybe you can look inside and say, you know what, I need to restore that. I need help from the Lord. His presence is His blessing. That's His blessing. When He shows up in the house, that's His blessing. That's His blessing. When He's there, that's His approval. That's His saying, you know what, I want to be here. I want to be involved in this. And so I hope that's helpful. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for these words. And I do pray it's helpful to see this. There's another, I think, of this chapter. A lot of things could be preached out of this, but that was one thing that shows up over and over here, that the Lord was with Joseph. Father, I pray that if there's things that have come between us and you, that we could address that, because obviously it's on our end. You haven't moved. You haven't changed your position. We have, though. So I pray that you'd help us restore, like David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I pray that if that's the case, if that's what's needed, then that would be done. Thank you for each soul that's here. I thank you for this time together. And I pray it's been helpful. And for VBS coming up, I pray that we'd have a lot of kids, a lot of help, and that Jesus Christ could be magnified in the hearts and minds of everyone involved, including all the kids that are coming and their families, that we could just put Jesus Christ on a pedestal and shine His light to everyone that's going to be here. And I pray that you'd help us do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.